A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros play the Mariners tonight. I'm very curious to see where Alex Bregman falls in the lineup. In the last segment, after telling a really remarkably insufferable story about the Broncos and when they fell in love with Bo Nix, based off of a backpack and what was in it, cleats, tape, and a lacrosse ball for his back, all football, it harkened back to a time where the Chicago Bears fell in love with Mitchell Trubisky because he was driving a 1997 Toyota Camry. And it had me thinking about, okay, well, what quarterback is what kind of car in the NFL draft? What's our least favorite kind of car? We got some suggestions for that. But what kind of car would Alex Bregman be right now? I mean, he's a car that, let's be honest, is having some issues right now. But you expect these issues. It's like you have these issues annually with Bregman. He's a slow starter. You are expecting things to get better, but also this might be the last year where you have this car. You might be on the verge of giving it away. 1-877 cars for kids. I'm kidding. You might be about to give this thing away. So what kind of car is Alex Bregman right now? I mean, he's definitely an expensive one, right? I mean, you paid a lot for that last contract that you gave to Alex Bregman. And I mean, it's given you some great times, some great memories. Has it given you every single amount of bang for your buck? It's probably been since 2019 where you felt like this thing's the best, right? And that generally happens when you get a new car. You like it for a little bit of time, and then after a while, you get sick of it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. He's like, he's a nice car.
Definitely
like
a nice car.
An older, nice car. Lots of miles. If there's a specific kind of car, and this is where the interactivity can really help out, is there a type of car that just like is notorious for like, yeah, you're gonna have some issues starting it. you're gonna turn the key, and it's not always gonna start the engine.
Maybe a first gen Tesla, as suggested by BT Quad. I guess when you start it, they catch fire occasionally, which is not what you want. Bregman's not on fire in a good way.
No, that's. Jose Abreu.
Some people are contributing on the Twitch. He is a POS Ford, says Shrimpo Data. Come on, that's nice.
That's rude.
75 half falsehood says Breggy is a Ford Pinto right now. Oh boy. The Pintos are the ones that exploded, right? I think a Pinto is the car where like you touched it the wrong way, it blew off. Must have been really cheap, great. I would hope. I would hope. Day One Donna says a Kia. Is he like those little hamsters that are in those commercials?
But, oh, wow, yeah. I have not thought about those hamsters in a while.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Now it's all Jake from State Farm and Flo from Progressive. Give us back the hamsters.
I don't need the hamsters. I hate car commercials. The car commercials are generally the worst. They're always the most self-important. It's the Lexus event. It's Toyotathon!
Yeah.
Breggy is a 99 Mustang 5.0, says B. Hannon.
I like that.
Sound good, but
yeah,
old.
Because when he, and guess what? In 99, that was probably a sick ass car.
It probably was.
In 2017, Bregman was a sick ass third baseman.
Zach calls him a Crown Vic. BT Quad says a Land Rover, great when you buy, not so great later on. That sounds right. Yeah. Land Rovers are expensive, not great. Gas mileage, yeah.
And after 7 years of having one, you're probably not. You know what? Let me sign a 10-year contract to keep driving this.
Right, exactly. Some other suggestions. This is just worst cars ever. PT Cruiser, more like PT Loser. That was on the Twitch.
Ouch.
A but Volvo. Good. Yeah, Volvos are. There's a Volvo that's like a fancy looking Volvo at my condo complex that's parked next to me now. It's like it's clearly a new Volvo of some sort, and I'm like, man,
They got something new.
Drop
in the
bag. Drop the bag for a Volvo. Yeah, I didn't even know they still made Volvos anymore.
I didn't know they had like higher. I thought they basically had Camrys and Corollas, but Volvos. You know.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought too. Again, I don't know that much about cars. Someone suggested a Subaru. That assumes his sexuality, sir. I don't like that. I don't like that. Okay. Bregman is like your Nissan Sentra, total wreck. Hi-o from the 346. That's someone who's been listening for a while.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Callback.
That's a good one. A 2008 Cadillac, Nissan Pathfinder. Ooh, Nissan Pathfinders are the ones that are having all the recalls, I think. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Didn't the Cybertruck have a recall too?
It did.
He's not a Cybertruck.
He's not a Cybertruck.
Cybertruck, that's like John Singleton when he first got called up, where it's like, interesting idea, not ready for big time.
A Cybertruck is Deshaun Watson.
Oh.
I mean, it's controversial to get one because you're an Elon Musk guy, which means you might be, you know, like MAGA or racist these days. Right. It's like that. Look, we need Alex Bregman to move out of the two spot. All jokes aside, he's been struggling. I think he is going to figure it out by the end of the year, but things are bad. We've highlighted before last night, I mean, two pop-outs with runners on third base and less than two outs. I mean, you had chances to drive in runs. You compare his numbers this year to Martin Maldonado's last year, and Maldonado actually has a higher slugging percentage and OPS than Bregman did last year. The averages aren't too far off. Maldi was batting 191. Bregman's hitting 200 flat. And while Bregman does start slow, this is an interesting tweet from Jeremy Branham, the Killer Bees you'll hear later this afternoon. He always starts slow, but a career slash line of 248, 355, 381 in April, March is a far cry from where he's at now, 200, 270, 273. He's down 48 points in average, 85 points in on-base percentage, and 98 points in slugging. There is reason for concern. Yes. And with the way Jeremy Pena has been hitting, I think that he deserves an opportunity to move up to the two spot where he has been before and been successful before. That's the other part of this. It'd be one thing to say if you're just like throwing stuff at the wall because you're 11-20 and are 6 games out of first place in the American League West and you do whatever you can to shake things up. But you actually have someone who's been in this spot before, and you would think that now that he's better as a hitter, nearly 2 years later, a year and a half later, that he'd be better in this spot. He's a good contact hitter, Pena. That's what he's been showing this year. So why not put him there? He runs out plays, too. He's had a couple of infield singles recently.
Add some speed to the top of the lineup.
Yeah,
now, even if he gets on first, like gets a single or walks, now with, and hopefully Yordan kind of gets it together, but now you're a Yordan double away from him possibly scoring. So, yeah, it's... If this was last year's Pena, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
No.
But this year, Pena has been one of the lone bright spots for as far as exceeding the expectations
yes.
that you have for him with this, I mean, this Astros team, honestly. It's like him, the last week of John Singleton, the last 3 games of John Singleton, Ronel Blanco, Seth Martinez.
Yeah, again, it's not a
and
great
Tucker.
Start.
Tucker's been good. But Tucker's been really
he's
good.
He's been awesome recently.
Yeah.
They're 4-1 the last 5 games. Okay, the last 5 games have been the start of the season. They started it late. They showed up late, fashionably late. Shrimp Botanus says Bregman's riding Metro right now. That's an expensive Metro ride. You're basically riding a party bus, except for it's Metro. Houston's Metro isn't that bad, right? It's not like Seattle's Metro. Seattle's Metro is a trip. I used to take that from the airport because the airport Uber would be like $115. It's not even that far away, but just Ubers up in Seattle are ridiculously priced. They're overpriced everywhere. So I would take the light rail from a place that was like about, I don't know, like 7 blocks away, like drag my roller bag through downtown Seattle trying to avoid eye contact with the homeless people on the sidewalks, some of whom still make eye contact with me anyway while dropping the kids off on the sidewalk. Oh, God, what a traumatic
that's
memory
a pro
it was.
Move. That's a dominant move.
Seattle's Metro is a little more. You're going to see more things. You know, you might see a stabbing. You might see You might see a lot on that. Hopefully Houston's metro is better. I'm not going to shame anyone who's on the metro. I know it's probably not ideal, though, in a city that's this sprawled out to be riding that.
No one's there because they want to be there.
Yeah. Is Bregman the light rail, or is he the actual metro? The light rail is expensive.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to get to it. It only really does one thing. All Bregman does now is walk.
And pop out.
Yeah.
He does two things.
Oh, boy. Anyway, hey, guys, look. Sorry, these are negative vibes. The Astros have won 4 of 5. Big weekend series with the Seattle Mariners. And guess what? Remember how we were upset with Jeff Blum for calling Joey the Rope, Joey Loperfido, J-Lo? Turns out he was calling him something else. I'll tell you what that is next. It is Gallant and George. No George, just Gallant. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Just me, Paulie G, today. Astros and Mariners. 3-game series begins tonight at Minute Maid Park. Stop at the Highway Cantina on your way into the stadium, guys. Do your Friday right. More mean comments directed Alex Bregman's way. You guys got to lighten up a little bit. I just want to move him out of the 2 spot. This guy is, I suppose to quote Goodfellas, he's almost a made guy, but not quite. Maybe that's The Departed. Now, you can't quite not hit him, but you don't hit him. That scene before. The scene where Leonardo DiCaprio's character just bashes some rando in the head with a cocktail glass full of cranberry juice. But here are some of the things that are being directed Alex Bregman's way. He is a Jaguar with 100,000 miles, especially the Cape Verde trade in. All right, that actually is a good one. But after that, Alex Bregman is like marrying a trophy wife and she gets caught in a fire and never looks the same. Whoa. Bregman was good in last year's playoffs. Relax.
Well, the fire was after that.
Stop. This is like suggesting the fire happened in 2020 or something like that.
Yeah.
Another text. Bregman used to be someone you could tolerate being arrogant while he was hitting. Now we're left with a Mendoza line D-back. What? He has not been a jerk going through this. He's frustrated. He was annoyed when asked about his contract year. I can understand him being annoyed when asked about that. I'm sure he wishes this is something that was resolved. And I'm sure that there is a bit of him inside that is pressing a little bit. I'm not saying like you all have to have his back and pat him on the back. He's making a ton of money. Never feel bad for a professional athlete that's making the kind of money that Alex Bregman is making. But don't be a jerk. Come on. Settle down a little bit, okay?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think we've mentioned this earlier, how all the goodwill from 7 straight ALCSs is basically gone with the Astros, or was gone before the trip to Mexico, where it's like they used up all the goodwill that the city had with them in like 20 games.
It really did. Which is sad because they've hit the 7 straight ALCSs.
Yeah, it's honestly like ridiculous. But I think it's also in a micro level the same thing with Alex Bregman, where I think like and with all I mean I mentioned before the same thing happened to Carlos Correa the last year or two that he was an Astro he was kind of getting put not by the organization but by the fans. It felt like he was getting like already kicked out before he could leave. It's like a "you can't fire me, I quit" kind of situation,
which was also ridiculous because Correa was the guy who stood firmly in the pocket while the entire world was pointing the finger. He picked up the shield like Captain America and defended his teammates and specifically Jose Altuve from slander that now finally people are retracting.
And Alex Bregman's the other Captain America, the government made after Steve Rogers, the guy
who's, yeah,
I don't know, some other tall white guy. That's Bregman.
By the way, really funny here. And again, people just keep on pounding on Bregman here. I got to give Shrimpo Dana some credit. He's on a roll right now on the Twitch. You know, we were talking about the trophy wife caught in the fire. Bregman got a boob job, but they're lopsided now in point different directions.
No, come on.
He's not Cookie Monster boobies. He's not Cookie Monsters. By the way, those are alarming when you see them. Now, when I did Yacht Week Greece in 2016, I have a friend. She is a friend, okay? I haven't talked to her in a while. But she was very proud of her bolt-ons. And she felt that since we're on a boat, we're not out in public, that she was just going to air them out all the time. And, I mean, it was like looking at Cookie Monster's eyes. You couldn't look away. And let's just say the pupils were all over the place. Like, one's going northwest, the other's going southeast. It's a little dramatic. Just a little traumatic. But again, that would imply that Bregman has done something to himself since then. The fire, the boob jobs. And I just don't like this negative energy that you guys are directing. I'm not directing it. I'm, once again, as I always am, weirdly, the most negative and cynical person probably in sports radio in this city. I am always the one that is picking up the flag like those frat boys at North Carolina or Alabama with the student protests, and I'm charging forward into the vanguard with this Astros orange and blue flag trying to get you all to turn around and stop running away. I'm Mel Gibson in the Patriot, and you guys got to stop wavering and being mean to your teammates, your family. It's ridiculous. It really is.
Do you think Alex Bregman adding 20 pounds of muscle is...
You know what? I mean, I don't know if those things weigh 20 pounds. It would probably mess your back up. I could see why people with the au naturals get the reductions, though. Definitely.
Yeah, that was him. He tried to do something else, and then didn't work. Now
we need positive vibes.
Now his chest is cross-eyed.
This is not. I feel like we're bullying Bregman, and I'm doing it because I'm reading the comments. We are being very interactive today. I don't like what I'm doing. I don't like what I'm doing here. So let's transition. Joey Loperfido, newest member of the Houston Astros, he got a nickname right away from Jeff Blum that seems to have been co-signed by the Houston Astros. And I push back on this online. I believe that Joey, as does Joe George, as does Sean Mapes, we I think agreed that Joey the Rope is better than J-Lo, which is only a nickname that Jennifer Lopez should have. But Jeff Blum, when he called Joey Loperfido's whacking of that Guardian runner at second base, he said this.
How about J-Lo?
How about J-Lo? He claims online that he never called Joey Loperfido J-Lo.
How about J-Lo?
One more time. Give it to me.
How about J-Lo?
So, the more I hear it, the more I actually hear what I guess he was actually saying all of this time. J-Lope. But he got weirdly aggressive with people. Not me, of course. We're friends. One time at the St. Arnold's showdown where you like add a mixed drink and turn it into food. Like we were judges together. I like Jeff. We had a nice couple of nice conversations. He's a good dude. But Jeff was very, very violent protesting that he never called Joey Loperfido J-Lo. In response to somebody who highlighted that it sounded like he said J-Lo, didn't pop that P. Fire Cintron and Snitker, who I believe are the Astros hitting coaches, is this person's handle. Blummer responded to him saying, "Jay Lope, jackass." Then retweeted this saying, "This nozzle, nice try." I said, "Jay Lope. He's got to pop that P, though." Okay, I'm not trying to be Cardi B or Megan Thee Stallion here. You got to pop that P. He's not popping that P there. Now, I tried talking with Jeff Blum on Twitter, and he did respond. I said, "Listen, you got to give him something that's a little bit more Italian." And he said, "Yes, I do." But he's not willing to go all the way to Joey the Rope. We have compromised, and I will endorse J-Lope as long as we just get this on the air. It's a frozen lope from J-Rope, or a frozen rope from J-Lope. I like that.
How about J-Lope?
First, goes to show you the actual power of this show. Not a lot. Not a lot.
Very small.
We're not
small
really.
Amount.
We're taking the small victories, much like the Astros should be taking the small victories as they try to get back above 500. We're taking the small victories that we can when we're talking to media people who are bigger deals than us, but we have compromised, and we will endorse J-Lope. J-Lope. Wait, no, that sounds like poo. J-Lope.
J-Lope. J-Lope.
J-Lope.
J-Lope.
We will endorse that as long as he gives us frozen rope from J-Lope.
What a negotiation, Paul.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Most shows will double down. They'll make a shirt.
Our
make
negotiating
a, make
power.
Make a hashtag.
Right. Our negotiating power is like every single university that's trying to deal with those protesters.
Hey, he DM'd me. Oh.
Right. That's all we got. We're caving pretty quickly. You know, we're like Rutgers. We're caving. We're caving so quickly. UCLA, that's us, Seth. That's all we got. But we are fun, are we not? Positive vibes only going forward, guys, heading into this weekend series. Astros and Mariners, you want to weigh in on Bregman's struggles, if there's an actual legitimate reason to keep Bregman in the two-hole, please do. We have to talk about the reason for the season, though. It's a big holiday this week, and I'm not talking about the Kentucky Derby. I'm talking about a holiday that is so celebrated, and it probably shouldn't be. You'll find out next. Stick around. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Gallant and George. Just Paul. No Joe today. We do have Sean Mapes back behind the glass. Someone texts in, it should be Joey Roperfido. I like that. That's pretty good as far as a Joey Loperfido nickname. We've also got some more people that are comparing Alex Bregman to inanimate objects. This time, not a car. A sneaker guy on the text line from the 409. Bregman's like buying a pair of Jordans, then getting a crease in them. Still wearable, but not as fancy. This sounds like somebody who might be a little bit like DJ Khaled with those Jordans.
Getting carried.
He never walks in them. Right. I mean, don't they get creases in them as soon as you walk them? I don't know. I don't know anything about sneaker culture.
It's like when your toes go above the, like, you get them from, like, lifting your toes up or, like, standing on your toes and stuff.
Okay.
So you have to, it's something that I also just don't pay attention to because I can't get my shoes going more than like a week without getting some sort of stain on them. So now for doing creases, I'm out. I definitely cannot meet the standard, but yeah, I think it's something with like, you get them around like the bottom of the laces.
Gotcha.
Where like that part of the toe, you know?
So as soon as you have the creases, do you have to throw the shoes out?
No. Like what he's saying, where it's still wearable, it's just not as fresh out the box.
Is 200 at the plate wearable? I mean, that's more than a crease. That's a stain. It's a wine stain.
Yeah. Is there something with the shoe where it's like there's something wrong, but you can still replace it. You can replace the laces or something.
These are great questions for people. You know what? For all the money that I put into Hawaiian shirts, I put very little money into shoes. Like I basically am like, I'm going to ride these things out until the soles literally fall off and they provide my feet zero support.
Have you done the thing where you've bought the same pair of shoes, like the same exact like shoe again, where like something happens to the old one and you're like,
yes.
Okay, no, I've also done the same thing. We're on the same page with the shoes where it's like, actually, I just like this one. They still sell these.
Yep.
Just buy another one.
Mm-hmm. Someone suggested as a nickname for Alex Bregman, Breggy Bum. That's not nice.
Oh, come on.
There's so many negative vibes going.
He hit a home run this series.
He did hit a home run this series.
He hit a Breggy Bomb.
The best team in the American League. He almost hit two Breggy Bombs.
Almost.
Because that first one that he hit down the left field line, it was just foul. Keith asks on YouTube, why does Joey even need a nickname? It's not that he needs one, but you want to give somebody named Mario Joseph Loperfido a nickname, and you would prefer that it would be somewhat Italian. And instead, the Astros broadcast, Jeff Blum specifically, seemingly called him J-Lo. Turns out he was calling him J-Lope. Not that much better, but since Jeff Blum acknowledged me on Twitter, I'm willing to be okay with that.
Just rolling over.
Sean,
rolling
I've
over
got
so
low.
You get a couple scratches on the belly.
I've got low self-confidence right now. LinkedIn girl's not responding. She may have ghosted me, you know. The self-confidence is low. All I've got to look forward to is apparently Coachella next year.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jeff Blum DMing you.
No. He didn't even DM me. He tweeted me. He didn't follow me back. But you know what? It's baby steps. It's baby steps between friends who clearly are on the same level in their careers.
You're both judges at St. Arnold.
That's true. We were both celebrity judges last year at St. Arnold's. Now, I didn't get to do it this year, but hey. Someone on the Twitch is talking about how there used to be a great debate on Astros Twitter about Tyler White's nickname. This is akin to that because Tyler White didn't really deserve a nickname. The Astros broadcast called him the Great White. Racist?
Yeah.
Josh Innes wanted to call him Big Puddin'. I think Big Puddin' was better.
Big Puddin's so much better.
But Astros Twitter didn't want it.
I don't know why.
They didn't like Josh.
The poor messenger?
Yeah, I think it was that.
Okay.
I think it was that. I did talk about how, guys, we have to talk about the meaning of a holiday, the reason for the season. It is Cinco de Mayo on Sunday. Cinco de Mayo is a hilarious holiday because it literally became a thing because of beer. That's why it's a thing. Do you know why Cinco de Mayo is actually celebrated? It's a yearly celebration to celebrate the Battle of Puebla in 1862, led by General Ignacio Zaragoza, who died months after the battle from an illness. So here's what happened, how the whole battle happened. July 17th of 1861, the Mexican president, Benito Juarez, issued a moratorium and said, yeah, we're not going to do any foreign debt payments for 2 years. Europe got mad. France, Spain, the United Kingdom joined an alliance to send to Mexico to basically like strong arm them into paying them. France, which at the time was ruled by Napoleon III, went a little bit further and said, you know what? We're going to take over Mexican land and install our own empire. They put this guy named Maximilian eventually on the throne. So in 1861, a well-armed French fleet attacked the city of Veracruz, and they took it over. But they started to march towards Mexico City. This is the French army. And the Mexicans stopped them at the Battle of Puebla, even though the Mexicans were poorly equipped and had less men. It was a huge morale boost for the Mexican army in 1862 at a time where beating the French was actually noteworthy, right? Like the 1800s, France had a lot of victories, you know? Like they lost against the winter. And then they lost at Waterloo, too. But here's the thing. This is the embarrassing thing about the Battle of Puebla. Basically, a year later, France came back with 30,000 troops and took over Mexico. And they were in control for 3 years until, get this, Americans sold them guns because the Civil War was over. So it was a short-lived victory. Mexico declared it a day of celebration after the victory happened, and then France took them over. And this is not even a holiday that's celebrated in Mexico. It's really just celebrated in the United States. It became popular in the 1940s, and in the 80s, it became even more popular due to alcohol. So alcohol, guys, is the reason for the season this weekend. That is why you get to celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Woo! Thank you, Corona, for giving us a holiday out of nowhere.
Pacifico.
Pacifico. Uh-huh.
Modelo.
Modelo.
Tecate.
Yes.
All sorts of tequilas.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Margaritas. Highway Margaritas. Cantina.
Yeah. All of them.
That's where you should celebrate.
Highway Cantina.
The Highway Cantina. That's where you should go. But anyway, guys, yeah, we give you history lessons on this show from time to time. And yes, that is the history of Cinco de Mayo.
I thought you were going to say, when you teased it as a holiday that maybe we shouldn't celebrate, I thought you were going to talk about May the 4th.
I'm not even acknowledging it.
Okay.
I'm out on Star Wars right now. I'm out on it.
Put them in timeout?
They're like in timeout. There's been a lot of bad. Star Wars has a toxic fan base, but I consider me a part of it. Andor's the only good thing that they've done in years. Years. And Rogue One. Rogue One was good. Everything else, ugh, it's been tough. It's
Mandalorian?
Been tough. Mandalorian.
Season one. Season one was good.
And the episode where Bill Burr was in season two.
Yeah, actually, the first two seasons were good.
For the most part. There's a couple episodes where you're like, what's going on? Again, it's a kid's show, though. You sort of have to accept that when you're an adult, like, yeah, guess what? A lot of these shows are not for you. But it's frustrating. Someone on the Twitch is hating on Corona. I'm sorry. Sean Mapes and I are part of a certain family.
Yeah.
And we don't like it when people say that.
This weekend.
Our drink.
This weekend, as long as you're listening to the show, you can have any beer you want, as long as it's Corona. The words of Dom Toretto, Fast and Furious. The first
family.
Have any drink you want. As long as it's a Corona. That like was just a commercial in the middle of that movie.
Really was.
That is a commercial line.
Speaking of Star Wars, have you seen, I think it's Peruvian that, beer.
Yeah.
Where in the middle
Cerveza Cristal or whatever.
Cerveza Cristal. Those are some of the funniest advertisements I've ever seen. Honestly.
When he opens up the thing and there's
beer. Yeah, it's fantastic.
American companies should do that. Mm-hmm. Where basically the story is, if you haven't seen it, that in, I think it was Peru, when they would show Star Wars, they wouldn't break on TV. They wouldn't break for commercials, like how
respect.
TNT will still break to commercials. They don't do that there. Instead, they would the movie would just be sponsored by a beer company, and they would just interject like beer, basically beer commercials, but just organically, or I guess not organically, but the seemingly organically into the movie. So like Obi-Wan Kenobi would open up something. And then they would just cut to it's the inside of a cooler with a bunch of ice and this Peruvian beer. Yep.
So good.
And that's the commercial for like the next 30 minutes.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Again, we should do that in America. We should take that.
We should do that. We should do that in radio. You know, I think it's a great concept. Just break it in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Like just a commercial out of nowhere.
Just start talking about free reign coffee or Access Vascular or Underdog or Way More Science. That's the next commercial break, folks.
I love it. All right. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul. We're not reading any more mean things directed towards Alex Bregman, but this is the worst thing that CJ Stroud has ever done. He'll find out on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to the Tucker Paulson Show. We all thought that C.J. Stroud, Houston Texans quarterback, was a battle-red-blooded American, a patriot for the Texans way. Swarm! But it turns out he's openly selling secrets to the Chinese. He's spending time at youth football camps in China with Micah Parsons, conveniently ignoring China's actual concentration camps. America used to be the foremost power in the world. Now the only leg up on communist China that we have is American football. And C.J. Stroud is willing to betray that. What is happening? What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. C.J. Stroud is more of a traitor to the United States than President Joe Biden. Damn.
I gotta say, that is surprising that, on a serious note, C.J. Stroud and Micah Parsons are in China and have been putting on youth clinics for American football in China. I didn't even know that they played it over there.
I imagine it's some sort of like global outreach thing, because that is what the NFL is trying to do now.
Can we stop?
No, they're trying to take over the world.
On a serious note, America first, C.J. Stroud and Micah Parsons should not be allowed to set foot on communist soil. For all we know, they'll get kidnapped and we've seen C.J. Stroud breaking down film, okay? On a serious note, do we want Chinese football players learning state secrets? I don't want China to be good at football. I don't want China to get football, ever. They're communists. The CCCP in China is like one of the most evil groups in the world. And we're just letting these guys go over there? Because you know, as soon as they give a couple of these over, they're going to have like a group of football savvy, athletic-looking guys. They're going to, just like the Russians did, like just juice them full of steroids. And 20 to 30 years from now, when the Olympics actually feature football, China's going to kick our ass with their roided-up freaks.
I'm still waiting for them to catch up to basketball. They've had 20 years since Yao Ming. Well, they're worse off than when they started.
You know what? I don't want them to have any of this, Sean. None of it. None of it. I hate that we're exporting American football everywhere. It should stay in America.
I think it's more of a global domination thing that they're going for. They're trying to overtake soccer.
They can have soccer. They can have soccer. No one cares. But for here, I don't like this. I don't like that we're playing games in Brazil. I don't like that we're playing games in formerly Nazi Germany. I don't like it. I don't like that we're playing games in England. How many times have we had to pick up the tab for those bastards after getting independence from them? World War I, World War II. I mean, come on.
World War III.
Probably will.
Soon come.
Yeah. England's not stopping the Russians if that gets out of hand. Anyway, it's time for a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Tom Brady is getting roasted Sunday at 7, live on Netflix. Should I watch? I'm debating it. I feel like I would actually get most of the jokes on a level that maybe only Tom Brady would get more than me, because I know so much about Tom Brady. It probably will be entertaining, but it is Cinco de Mayo. It is a alcohol holiday. It's the reason for the season. Do I want to stay in and watch Netflix? I am allowing myself to watch TV shows and movies on the weekends, just not during the week, along with not going on Instagram. Should I watch this, Sean? There's a drinking game on The Ringer that I could use while watching it, so I still could be partying. Yeah. I just won't be out and about.
I don't know. I don't think it's a
watch live kind of deal.
Yeah.
Junior Broncos doesn't think it's watch live either.
No, I don't think it's watch live. Maybe the next morning if you want on the treadmill. Although you're not allowed to, so never mind.
That's true. On the treadmill, I could.
Okay. Then, yeah, maybe it's a treadmill watch. Because I can't imagine it's going to be very good.
Yeah, I'm not that optimistic for it.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of optimistic for it. The Rock has been showing up routinely 7 to 8 hours late for movie shoots of the movie Red One. It has caused costs of $50 million, but we've learned that in order to cut some of this time down, 7 to 8 hours, still a lot of time.
To cut it down.
He's been peeing into water bottles. There's nothing worse than having to pee in a water bottle when you got to really go and there's nowhere to go and you're driving. Well, and I'm always nervous. It's not going to get into the top of the bottle and go everywhere. It's just such an awkward thing
to do.
They
need to make, like, wide mouth.
It's like a Gatorade bottle,
yeah,
right?
They just need Gatorade. I need to always just have a Gatorade bottle.
That's probably the solution. But the problem is, like, the Gatorade color is sometimes similar to the lemon-lime color. And sometimes similar to the pee color. You know? Anyway,
I like that he's, again, 7 hours late, but he's like, let me make up this, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah, here. Not even. It's maybe 30, 45 seconds. That's crazy. An Australian resident has called 21,000 times about noise from overflying aircraft. Half of all the complaints in Australia. I'm doing the math here. 21,000 divided by 365. I mean, is that 300 calls a day? Hang on a second. 21,000 divided by 365. That's 57 and a half calls a day.
That's so many.
What does this person
over
do?
Over 2 an hour.
What does this person do? They should move. You could pack up all your things in one day of your 57 and a half calls. You could do this immediately. What are you doing?
Be the change you want to see in the world.
Oh, boy.
Are there even that many planes?
In Perth? I guess so. Head. Goodness gracious. All right, guys. That's going to wrap up today's Gallant and George radio program. Joe will be back on Monday, as will I, as will Sean. Have a wonderful Cinco de Mayo weekend. Stay safe on the roads out there. The Killer Bees are up next. So long. Farewell. Peace.
ESPN 97.5.